Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we're turning to your stories of false positives on medical tests and their impact on your life. Call us up at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or leave a comment on our website. Our question is prompted by the story of Mark Joseph Stern. For 1 week, he lived with the belief that he was infected with HIV, only to discover that he had been the victim of a misdiagnosis. And in the process of writing about his experience for Slate, he found that false positives are not entirely uncommon in HIV testing. Mark joins us now to talk about his week with HIV and take your calls pertaining to any false positive. Hi, Mark. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for having me.
So you want to tell us what prompted your HIV test and why it came up false positive?
For about a week in January, I had one of those bugs that I guess happen sometimes. I was sick. I had a fever, little bit of a cough. I was laid up in bed, and I made an appointment with my doctor. I eventually went in. He gave me a checkup. He drew some blood. He said, you know, I think you're fine, but we might as well do this. And unbeknownst to me, he ran my blood through an HIV test, which I hadn't asked for. And about a week later, I got a call on the phone from him about 7 p.m. At night, and he said, "Hi, I just wanted to let you know that you should go ahead and assume that you have HIV. I ran a test, and your immunoassay ran up to positive, and your Western blot came back indeterminate, and in my experience, that tells me that you are early on in an infection with HIV," which was, needless to say, pretty startling for me to hear.
And ultimately, in your case, it came down not so much to lack of certainty in the test, but to human error, right?
That's right. So basically, I knew rationally that there was no way that I could have HIV. It didn't make sense. I hadn't been exposed. I was at no risk. But, you know, when you hear those words from a licensed medical doctor, it's still terrifying. So I began to do a lot of research into HIV and into the science behind the tests. And it turns out that HIV tests are, like any medical test, prone to a small amount of human error. And there's a lot of complicated science behind this. But basically, when an HIV test is created, the virus is grown in a cell culture. And a lab technician will isolate antigens from the virus, pull it out, and put it in an HIV test, right? But sometimes debris from that cell culture can travel along with the antigens from the virus. So the long story short here is that your blood may get mixed in with some debris that's reactive to HIV. There's no way to distinguish between the two, and your test can come back positive. It's extremely rare, but it does happen, and not a lot of people know about it. In fact, many of the doctors whom I interviewed for my story had never heard of my particular situation, a Western blot test with non-viral bands, not once. So it's something that a lot of people aren't aware about, but it's something I think we should be talking about.
And so sometimes even doctors aren't aware of the potential false positives on the tests that they order. What was your week with an HIV diagnosis like?
Well, as you can imagine, it was pretty traumatic. The first person I told was my boyfriend, and he and I were both extremely confused and unsettled because we, you know, are in a monogamous long-term relationship, and to neither of our knowledge had either of us been exposed to the virus. But again, like I said, when a doctor tells you that, you're sort of inclined to believe it. So I basically just tried to figure out what my life would be like from here on out. You know, as I say in the article, HIV is absolutely no longer a death sentence, right? Like, you can live a long and happy life with it, but I would rather not have HIV. So I also began to sort of look into the science. After I got the call from my doctor, I went in and got another rapid test, which turned up negative. And what my doctor said was, you could just be so early in the infection that your test isn't turning up. That's called the window period. It lasts now for about 25 to 35 days after an HIV infection. Yeah. You won't turn up positive on a test.
So he who didn't even realize that his test had a chance of false positive was casting doubt on your accurate negative.
That's right. That's right. And he actually believed the false positive more than he believed the accurate negative. So it took several more tests, including an RNA test, for me to really believe and understand that I didn't have HIV. And in the meantime, I was very unnerved and confused and alarmed. I didn't sleep all that much, I'll say that.
So Mark Joseph Stern, who wrote up his false HIV diagnosis for Slate, you want to hang around and hear some other people's stories?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Maureen in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Leonard.
It's Brian, but Leonard will be here in 10 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. It was an unnerving experience, and you can see I'm still shaken from it. Several years ago, my husband and I were trying to get pregnant, and we had done a whole bunch of fertility things. And in the course of normal pregnant care, I tested positive for syphilis. And we were in a monogamous relationship, and I wasn't active sexually before we were married. So that, of course, made me look at my husband and try to figure out, okay, what's going on here? The worst part of it all was that I had no idea that they were even testing for that. I came home from work one day, and plastered across my door was like yellow tape from the Board of Health demanding that I report the next day to begin treatment for syphilis. And, you know, everyone in my apartment building walked past my door.
And how did it happen? Is there a certain percentage rate false positive that you know of?
Well, very, very much like our experts, our author's account, when I was retested and it came out negative, they didn't believe that. They kept going with the positive. But as it turned out, the batch of serum that I was tested with had three false positives in it, and one of them led to a underage child being removed from her home because the only way she could have tested positive for syphilis if there was child abuse in the home.
Wow. So there's real, real consequences there. Yikes. Maureen, thank you for sharing that story. Mark, I'm sure you can relate, you know, partially because of it being a sexually transmitted disease. And, you know, there are many false positives out there. I mean, your story is unusual in that 1 in 250,000 rate of false positives that you and your doctor got caught by is so small. But we looked up some other common ones. Annual mammograms for breast cancer are very sensitive, so false positives are frequent, but false negatives are also possible. The Susan G. Komen site says studies have shown the chances of having a false positive result after 10 yearly mammograms are about 50 to 60%.
Yes, I mean, it's a real shame. And speaking to the previous caller, actually, false positives for HIV are also fairly common among pregnant women. There's an HIV test called the Western blot test that looks for certain viral bands for HIV, and there's one band called P24 that, for whatever reason, pregnant women often have. And so if you go online and you just Google indeterminate Western blot, you'll see hundreds of messages from terrified pregnant women who have just been told in, you know, their second trimester that they have HIV, and it turns out that this is just one of those not incredibly common but still possible effects of the test.
Karen in Westchester, I'm going to ask, because our time is running short, everybody to be kind of brief with these, even though I realize these can be some emotional stories. But Karen Westchester, hi, Karen. What's the false positive in your life?
My husband has been unemployed now 8 years, and about six months ago, he got a lead to a job working with a special needs population. So they required a medical, and he got a false positive on tuberculosis, so he's still unemployed.
Oh, that's terrible. He couldn't go back to that employer and say, look, I wasn't really.
I don't know. I think it was more complicated than that.
Yeah. Karen, thank you. Mark in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. What's your false positive story?
Yeah, hi. 2 years ago, I was performing an autopsy and stabbed myself, and the patient came up positive on the ELISA test, on three ELISA tests that evening. So it being a Friday, I decided to take the HIV prophylaxis for the next month.
Those are HIV tests, the ELISA test. So you thought you had HIV.
Those are the screening tests.
Yes,
well, no, actually, because the person had been dead for more than 48 hours, it was exceptionally unlikely that there would be any sort of transmission. However, because of the positive ELISA, I took the prophylaxis, not so much as I felt for scientific reasons, mm-hmm. as religious reasons, considering that I was in a relationship at the time.
Right. Mark, thank you. And Christine in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. What's your false positive story?
I was misdiagnosed with MS for 7 years.
7 years?
Yeah.
And so how did that lead you to change your life, if it did?
Well, it was devastating emotionally. I was young. I was diagnosed on my 27th birthday. And I felt like I was not going to have a life.
Yes.
I started taking a drug that had to be the first drug, Bedazone, that is meant to reduce the frequency and the intensity of attacks, had just been approved, so I started injecting it every other day subcutaneously, which ended up, because I used the same site too often, I had necrosis on that site.
And then just very briefly, how did they figure out it was a false positive in the first place after 7 years?
Because of a new symptom that appeared that my internist said, whoa, this is very strange. This looks like Crohn's disease. And he tested me for Crohn's disease. And it wasn't Crohn's disease, so he said, well, it may be Behçet's disease.
But it wasn't MS, and Christine, we're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time, but thank you. And an upbeat one from Tom and Nyack on our comments page to finish. My false positive experiences was among the best things that ever happened to me. I do not suffer from high blood pressure, but when it came time for my draft physical in 1970, I failed because of a false high measurement of blood pressure. So Mark Joseph Stern, who wrote up his false HIV positive for Slate, we have 10 seconds, but that's a great way to end, huh?
Oh, yes. I envy his luck. Good for him.
And good for you for writing up your site. It's your experience on Slate. It's something that people can certainly learn from. And thank you for joining us.
All right. Thanks so much for having me on.